Hallelujah. What a wonderful Savior we serve. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Praise the Lord. We have been all over this text for a few different weeks. And we've talked about Deuteronomy 6 and 4. We went over to Deuteronomy 4 and 5 and 6. And we've been all around this a couple of different times. But, amen, we want to look at this here tonight. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, beginning at verse number 20. And when the Son of Man asketh thee in time to come, saying, what meaneth the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us in the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Praise God. Amen. I'm simply going to preach here for a little while tonight. Amen. This thought, from heritage to legacy. Praise God. Amen. From heritage to legacy. Praise God. Amen. I'm thankful, thankful, thankful for our heritage. So very, very thankful. Praise God. But what I'm looking at in all of Pentecost, I don't know that I necessarily like. I said I don't like it. Amen. There's some things that is happening that I don't care for. And it doesn't resemble our heritage. Somebody's let the heritage slip into oblivion. Somebody's forgotten what the heritage is all about. Somebody was a weak link. Somebody, somewhere or another, it got broke. And now it seems like Pentecost has taken on a different aura, a different genre, a different definition. Pentecost, to a large degree, it's become different. It's become different. It seems like now that Pentecost is built off of the hype, and the shout. And those that can get to people to shouting and stuff, they're the ones that is promoted, and it doesn't bother me at all. I could care less if I preach another conference. I've preached enough of them, and all they are is pressure, 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 pressure. And I've preached some youth camps. I don't care to preach. I'm not looking for my name to be in light somewhere, to be on a flyer somewhere. I really don't care. If God just let me preach right here, this is my favorite place to preach. It is. It's my favorite. I feel like I can be at home, but it's my favorite place to preach right here. Praise God. So I'm not looking for anything. Amen. And that's okay, because a lot of what Pentecost has become is hype. It's become a flash in the pan. It's become a lot of stuff that our forefathers wouldn't even recognize. Praise God. I'm thankful for our heritage. I'm very thankful. But friend, there's something that we've got to do today in preparation for tomorrow. Amen. And that's the legacy that we're going to pass on. Amen. Would you help me pray here today? God of heaven, we love you. We worship you and praise you, Lord. We magnify you. Hallelujah. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord and just give him a big praise here tonight? Amen. As the Bible said, oh, clap your hands, all you people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Hallelujah. We're thankful today, God, for what you've done for us. We're thankful for what you've given unto us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. And God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. While I'm thinking about it, I do not want to forget this, but we want to keep Brother Wirths in our prayers. And he's just hasn't been feeling good, and just been fighting his blood pressure issues and stuff like that. And we want to bear him up in prayer. Amen. Continue to pray for him on a daily basis. Praise God. We appreciate him, honor, respect him, and love him dearly. Praise God. Amen. A heritage, the word heritage and the word legacy obviously are different, but probably would look at to be in the same family, and I'm okay with that. But the word heritage explains or defines the values and the traditions, the cultures, maybe the physical artifacts handed down from a previous generation. They could be tangible heirlooms and such, or they could be intangible, such as languages, family, identity. And it's used legally to describe property or an estate that is inherited. It is that which has been handed down. Legacy is, and just stay with me here for a moment because this sounds very close to the same, but legacy is anything handed down from the past, but it's who's doing the handing out. The difference here is, without confusing the two and seeing that the definitions are fairly the same, the heritage is what we receive from those who come before us. And a legacy is what we leave behind for those who come after us. Praise God. Amen. Everyone has a heritage, but not everyone leaves a legacy. A heritage is faith passed from one generation to another. It could be biblical doctrine. It could be family values, history, traditions, and identity, but a legacy is the things that you're leaving behind for somebody else, such as your character and influence and disciples that are made and lives that are changed and institutions that are built for tomorrow and future generations being equipped to handle their times. A heritage is not in a demeaning way, but a heritage causes one to look backwards, such as, where did it come from? What have we inherited, and what truths must we preserve? A heritage communicates historic faith and biblical roots and stability and continuing faith that was once delivered unto us. But a legacy looks forward. It says, what difference will we make? And what have we inherited? And what truths must we preserve? What difference are we going to make? And what will remain after we are gone? And what are we building for the future? It communicates building disciples to face the future, investing in future generations and the community impact and vision and multiplications. And a heritage is received, but a legacy is given. A heritage concerns the past, but a legacy involves the future. A heritage is inheritance, while a legacy is an investment. A heritage is a preservation, and legacy is multiplication. Heritage is identity, and legacy is influence. A heritage is what shaped us, and a legacy is what we are shaping. A heritage is looking back on, and a legacy is looking forward to. Praise God. Amen. You can see that these are very closely the same. Amen. But the difference is me. And that is the difference. Amen. A heritage is what I receive, but a legacy is what I leave behind. You understand that I can receive a heritage and do nothing to help the future generations that are out there. I do not believe that that is why the gospel of Jesus Christ, amen, was presented unto man.
mankind. I do not believe that that is why that Jesus Christ suffered and died, amen, and lived life, amen, the 33 years that he did, and to bleed, to leave a heritage, just so that somebody somewhere down the line can just forget it and go about their own ways and do their own things. Praise God. And so in our text here tonight, we see that they would ask and say, what means the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? And this is, you understand that this is the generation that has received a great heritage, but they have an opportunity to make a difference into the future generation. They are the ones that was brought out of Egypt, and they were the ones that saw these things happen. And so it's going to be asked of them, what means the testimonies, the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord God commanded you? And this is what you're going to tell unto that future generation. You're going to tell them that we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great sore upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh and upon all of his household before our eyes. We saw every bit of it. And he brought us out from thence that he might bring us into another place to give us a land which he sware unto our fathers. Man, you see that they had received the inheritance of freedom. They were coming out of the land of bondage, and they were going into a land of promise, and the legacy was that they were going to leave the future generation with a land that flowed with milk and honey. But there had to be things that had to be done. Amen. There were things that had to be conquered, things that had to be torn down, places that had to be built up. It wasn't just a birthday present from God to them, that they didn't have anything to do, amen, beyond that. It wasn't just a bicycle given unto them that's left in the front yard, amen, about 2 weeks later and collecting rust from the rain, amen. But what it was something important and special to them. They had cried out for a deliverer, and God had delivered them, and they had a promise of the promised land that was before them, and they inherited that land. It was their inheritance, but they had to make sure that they were leaving it to the future generation. They made sure that in leaving it to their children and unto their grandchildren, that today we're going to have to defeat and fight the Philistines, and we're going to have to fight the Amorites, and we're going to have to fight the Hittites and the Jebusites, and we're going to have to pull out, amen, the stops, and we're going to have to get these things out of here if our children are going to be able to live in a land of liberty. If they're going to have a fighting chance tomorrow, then we've got to do something about it today. And that wasn't the last time that it happened, because we would see that they would march across the Jordan River, and before that their feet ever came out, the priest's feet came out, the Lord commanded Joshua and said, I want you to go back into that river, and I want you to get 12 stones. I want you to put 12 stones on the inside of it, but I also want you to put 12 stones on the outside, and I want you to build a memorial. Amen. And in Joshua chapter number 4, it said that that one man of every tribe was going to do this, and he said, pass over before the ark and your God in the midst of Jordan, and take every man of you a stone upon his shoulder according unto the number of tribes, that this may be a sign unto you, that when your children ask your fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Amen. What the Lord was saying is there's coming a time, amen, that your children are going to come back to you, and they're going to ask you, what do these stones mean? Now, that's what the King James Version said. The English Standard Version says it like this, that your children would come back to you and say, what do these stones mean unto you? It's a personal thing. Every tribe had a rock that was there in that altar, in that memorial, representing them. And they would be able to say, you know what? We had an inheritance that was coming unto us, and it was on the other side of Jordan. We lived over there in the wilderness. But there was a time that God dried it up and rolled the waters back during the flood seasons. And we walked through, and these rocks right here is what we brought out of the midst of that Jordan River. And we established it here as a sign, amen, for future generations of what God did for us. Amen, as a token of a promise, as a sign that God doesn't change and God can do anything. And let these stones remind you that if God did it for me, then God can do it for you. You understand that this is a heritage to me, but I want you to, I'm going to leave it, amen, in place as a legacy unto you. I want you to come back and visit this place when you're hard up and you can't figure out a way to get through. I want you to take a journey back to a place that Dad talked to you about. And when you come up to this memorial, I want you to look at it, and I want you to look at that Jordan River. And I want you to say, now God, if you brought my daddy through that river and these stones came out of that river, my daddy left this as a legacy for me. I'm asking you, God, and I'm telling you that I want you to do the same for me. I'm praying that you would lead, that you would open up a path and a way, amen, that where there is no way, if you could do it for the future generations, then you can do it for me as well. Amen. The Lord said it's going to be so powerful that it's going to go from generation to generation. Your grandkids are going to come back and say, God, if you did this for Grandpa, then I know that you can do it for me, because it is established. Amen. This is a heritage. It is established forever, for future generations. I'm not going to let somebody come and knock over my memorials. I'm not going to let somebody come, amen, and just frivolously, amen, play with the things that God has blessed me with. They're precious. They're costly. They're valuable. Somebody has shed blood for it. And I plan on upholding the banner as long as I have the power and the ability to do so.
Heritage can be admired, but they don't have to be continued. This is why so many churches, number one, cease to exist, or number two, take on a different identity. Because somewhere along the line, that heritage doesn't mean anything. Somewhere, somebody lost the meaning of it. Somewhere, somebody didn't preserve it. Praise God. Amen. Amen. It is simply hung on to what was given unto them without trying to reproduce it, duplicate it, preserve it, or to keep it alive. Friend, that's what you and I are here today for, and that's what the promise is for. He said, it's unto you and to your children and to and all that are afar off, as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise God. Amen. Israel, we would see that they would constantly talk about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But somewhere or another, they missed something. And they could talk about it. They could talk about the God of Abraham. But Abraham's faith never carried on to them. Hebrews 11 said that Abraham, being the friend of God, that
He searched and he walked and he continued to look for a city whose builder and maker was God. And when he didn't find it on day 232 or year 200, when he didn't find it, he just kept on walking. And everybody wanted to talk about the God of Abraham, but nobody wanted to follow in the footsteps of Abraham. It was something that was missed somewhere along the line. Praise God. They would celebrate Moses while they resisted God. There was a loose connection there. There was a broken line there. They did not connect them together. They could not see how that obeying God was Moses' theme. And they just would rather be called the children of Moses or the children of Abraham. But they didn't remember and they forgot about the God of Moses and the God of Abraham. Jesus said in the book of Matthew, he said, "Woe unto the scribes and the Pharisees and hypocrites, because you build tombs for the prophets." He said, "You're honoring them, but you're not living like them. You hold them in high esteem, but you have no idea what they believe. You are reverencing them and you are building tombs for them and you are representing them and such. But you cannot tell me the things that they did. Somebody dropped the ball. Amen. Somebody got a heritage, but forgot to pass on a legacy. Amen. Somebody, to somebody, it didn't mean much to them. Amen. To somebody, it was just another man. Somebody, it was just another preacher. Somebody, it was just another prophet, and his voice wasn't real unto them. But thank God for somebody, amen, that would hold on and keep passing it on. That's why the Lord said, amen, you're going to train up your children and do these things. You're going to train diligently, amen, train your children. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you're to love the Lord your God with all of your soul, your strength, and your mind. And he said, and you, amen, have got to train up these children diligently. You've got to do it when you put them to bed, when you wake them up, in the morning time, in the evening time, in the noon time, when they pass out of the gates, let them be reminded why God said this is important. This is important. And I understand that it's happening today, but 2,000 years from now, if the legacy has not been fulfilled, if the legacy has been failed, then somebody, 2026, is there going to be a church that's still going to stand and still going to declare, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God is one Lord"? Or are they going to be dissuaded like all of those others that have been and go to believing in a triune Godhead, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost? Amen. And there is a fact, there is a lie that the devil has sold unto them. But let it be that somebody says, "This is still important, and I'm going to keep it alive because I've got to pass it down to my children, and it's going to help my children, and it's going to set my children free. I've got to keep the heritage alive by passing down the legacy." Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. A heritage will ask, "What did they do?" But a legacy will ask, "What are we doing about it?" A heritage is going to ask, "What did Abraham do? What did Moses do? What did Elisha do? What did Daniel do? What did David do?" But a legacy is going to say, "What are we going to do about what they did? Are we going to hold it true? Are we going to keep the word alive? Are we going to keep it alive?" Praise God. We've got to be able to preserve the heritage and at the same time be prepared to leave the legacy. Praise God. Our doctrine is our heritage, but our mission is to make that heritage a legacy that we pass on to our children. We cannot allow this just to become old hat. And this is what I really feel to preach here tonight. You see, there's an issue that's called that the first generation loves the truth. The second generation will live the truth. The third generation, amen, will leave the truth. And the fourth generation will loathe the truth. The first generation would die for the truth. The second generation, amen, will deal with the truth. The third generation will debate the truth. And the fourth generation will destroy the truth. That's why you've got to have a first generation experience. You may be a fifth generation Pentecost, but friend, you need to get to an altar and get a first generation experience. Amen. Your grandma may have come in and brought your mom and dad in. And you may be in the church as a third generation experience with a third generation, amen, away. But you still got to have a first generation experience. Because the further you get away from the heritage, the less it's going to mean to you. The further that you get away from the truth, the less, amen, the less valuable that it's going to mean to you. But when you can stand before your kids and say, listen, amen, I may have been born in the truth, but let me tell you something, I wasn't perfect, but God was rich in his mercy, and God has helped me, and God has brought me through, and God has been as good to me as he's been to my mom and dad. And there's been times that I said, now God, if you could do it for grandma, and if you could do it for mom, then God, you're gonna do it for me, because your word says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't look at me like a dead cow. Amen. I'm telling you today, if you're going to have a legacy, you've got to fight for it. You've got to stand for it. You've got to resist the devil. You've got to make a stand. The same God that brought our forefathers out of Egypt, the same God that brought our forefathers over Jordan, the same God that has kept us through the years, he's going to be able to keep us in this day and time. We are living in a different era, and we're living with different problems. Amen. Our forefathers never knew what social media was. Amen. They wouldn't know what AI was. They wouldn't know what a virtual assistant was. They wouldn't know what a lot of things are. And they really wouldn't know how to deal with them. Other than they would say, I'll just tell you one thing. You gotta get back to the altar, because that altar is a heritage that I'm not willing to let die. And you gotta find a place with God. And you've gotta let God speak to you. And you've gotta let God answer your questions. And you've got to let God navigate the negatives. You've got to let God bring you through this. But I'm telling you, he can, because he did it for me. I'm telling you, he will, because he did it for me. Amen. Through faith, the elders obtained a good report. They got a testimony. How did they get a testimony? They went through the test. They had trials. But through it all, they found a God that was unchanging. They found a God that would provide. They found a God that would heal. They found a God that would bring them through. And it made such a difference in their life that they told it unto their children. And their children, amen, have kept it through the years. Let's love him tonight. We are not replacing something with something else. We receive a heritage from those who came before us. We steward that heritage in our generation. We leave a legacy to make the difference to those who follow. They've got to see and know something. It is a theme that has been woven throughout all of Scripture. 2 Timothy 1, Paul wrote, and he said that faith transferred and moved from
talking unto Timothy, he said unto your grandmother, Lois, to your mother Eunice, and all the way unto you, Timothy. Psalm 78, he said, one generation declares God's work to the next generation. Deuteronomy 6 said, parents are commanded diligently to teach God's commandments to their children. In Judges chapter number 2, though, tragedy arose because there arose a generation who knew not God. The problem was not that the truth had changed. It was just simply that it had not been faithfully transmitted somewhere. Someone received a heritage, but someone failed to leave the legacy. And then all of a sudden you've got a generation that does not know God. And the Bible said that every man did that which was right in his own eyes. He thought it was right, but he was sadly mistaken. And the tragedies that occurred because of that, the horror stories that came out of that because somebody failed to pass the legacy. It's not enough to keep the heritage. It's not enough to know truth. Truth will die if you don't tell somebody about it. I understand somebody says, well, you know, God will always have a light. I believe that 100%, but I think you understand what I'm saying. The light can go out in your family if you just respect the heritage, but have no inclination of passing it down to another generation. It's a doctrine that has been left for us to preserve, to keep, and to give on. It's the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Praise God. We still believe that. We still believe that there's only one way to make it to heaven. We're not ashamed of it. We still believe that it is the power of God unto salvation. We believe that a man must repent or perish. We believe that a man must be born again of the water, and that in being born again of the water, he must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. For neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul said, whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus. We believe that a man must be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. That is what is shown throughout all of the book of Acts. Amen. And really specified in the book of Acts chapter number 8. Even after they had received all kinds of things, yet they still had not received the Holy Ghost. They had repented. They had been baptized, but they had not received the Holy Ghost. They had received miracles, but they had not received the Holy Ghost. Praise God. We believe that a man has got to live a holy, dedicated, and separated life from the world. We believe that it's still right to come out from among them, according to 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. Come out from among them and be a separate, saith the Lord. Amen. And he said, and I will receive you, and you shall be my sons and my daughters. It goes on, 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, he says, and having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all the filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the sight of God. We believe all of these things, but friend, I'm telling you, somebody reverenced the heritage in one generation, and they lost the legacy in another generation. Because we don't see that anymore very often. It's too common now. I may blow your socks off, praise God. I'll pick them up after service. Sometimes we live a sheltered life. Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we question some things. Sometimes we wonder why things are going on. Amen. But I'm telling you what, there's a lot of things that is creeping into Pentecost. Amen. That ought not to be so. And it's because somebody has reverence for the prophets, but has no idea about the God of the prophets. I've seen it across social media, how that they praise and elevate and reverence the formal verbal being. But I'm telling you, probably 95% of them wouldn't sit under him and his ministry, whether he was the pastor or the evangelist. They'd get up and walk out. Oh yeah. When I was evangelizing, I asked pastors several different questions. I would ask them, I said, number one, I said, outside of the Bible, what is one book that you would tell me I need to read? And so I started collecting books and stuff and started reading them and stuff. And then I would ask them, you know, what are some things in your life that made a difference? What are some things that you saw that did, you know, whatever and stuff. And I found two men that were extremely, extremely close to Brother Bean before he passed away. One was his assistant for years. And some of you may not even know who Verbal Bean is. Come talk to me after church and I'll give you a book and we'll pass it around and we'll let you read it. And you can kind of see what kind of man he really was. But one man was his assistant and assisted him for years. And another man got to be around him for a lot of times and actually was his chauffeur at different camps and different things and such like that and stayed around him a lot of times. I pastored a man in Texas that was under Brother Bean until Brother Bean passed away and such. And so I've heard all kinds of stories about it. But he was a man that would just call you out. He wouldn't be accepted in this generation. He wouldn't be politically correct in this generation. But he would specifically, and one man, he told me, he said, I remember Brother Bean, he said, he was so different. That wouldn't be accepted in our generation either. He would take the pulpit and he'd have his guitar. And he'd sit there and he'd just kind of look. And he'd play his guitar. And he'd look. And he might sing a little bit and he'd pray and play his guitar. Sometimes he'd stop and say something and after a while he might put his guitar away and sometimes he'd take a text and sometimes he wouldn't take a text. He'd be too abnormal in our churches. We couldn't figure him out. What is he doing? But One of the men that I preached for said, I remember he was playing his guitar, closed his eyes, and he shook his head. He turned and looked and he pointed at a lady back on the back row. I don't know how many people were there, maybe 100, 200 people there. He pointed at a lady on the back row and he said, Sister Melissa, don't get nervous here. He said, lady, you back there in the red dress. You understand? He said, lady back there in the red dress. She's like me. He said, yeah, stand up. Bless God, he ain't telling me what to do. She stood up. And he said, you're going to have to get right tonight. He said, or God's going to kill you. Hey, he wouldn't be accepted in our generation. And she kind of looked offended. And he kind of told her something along these lines. Don't be offended. You know what I'm talking about. You're in adultery. Right there in front of everybody. You're in adultery. And she looked astounded. And he said, as a matter of fact, you stop by on the way to church. You stop by your lover's house and then come to church. She jumped out of the pew and come running to the altar and fell screaming and prayed through. He wouldn't be accepted in our generation. Lots and lots of things like that happened. Lots of things. A man was having a revival. As a matter of fact, this man was preaching. The man that I was talking to was preaching revival. And he told the pastor his things wasn't breaking. He said, you know what? He said, I know that Brother Bean is in the area. He said, why don't we get him to come over here and preach for a few nights and see if we can't break this open? And he said, well, I don't know Brother Bean. He said, well, I do. Let me give him a call. So he did. He gave Brother Bean a call. And Brother Bean said, well, he said, I've got a few nights off. And he said, I could do that. And he said, I'm going to come pick you up. So this man went and picked Brother Bean up. And he came and on his way back to the church, on the way back to that city, Brother Bean told me, he said, I'm going to tell you why you're not having revival. He said, okay. He said, I'm going to tell you why it's not breaking. And Brother Bean just started telling him all the problems that was in the church. He had never even been in the church, never seen the people, never done anything. He started telling him, started spelling out people, and the man started seeing people in his mind. Oh, I know exactly who he's talking to. Brother Bean got up for a few days and began to take care of issues and stuff. People started praying through. And once the saints got prayed through, the church had revival. You see what I'm saying is there's a lot of people that praise him. And I've seen a lot of, I just say it like it is, I've seen a lot of liberals. Oh, Brother Bean, you wouldn't set two nights in any of his services. What I'm saying is that they reverence the apostles. They reverence the prophets. They reverence the formers. But they don't want no part of it. We've got men amongst us that are okay talking about dualism. Two gods. It's in our ranks. There's not two gods. There's one. And his name is Jesus. And he represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Those titles. But he is God. And he was God manifest in the flesh. You may not know this, but back in the 40s, there was two movements. And they were separate movements. And they merged together and they became what we know as the United Pentecostal Church International. But these two movements was that one of the movements believed that salvation was at repentance. And when they merged, they said they come to this agreement that these churches that was under this other banner that they would have to begin to preach repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, infilling of the Holy Ghost for salvation. But really what they wanted was sponsorship and help and to be a part of some type of organization, and it never happened. And so they still remain basically two groups within one organization. And that one organization was represented very well on the West Coast. And today that movement has spread. And today there is a lot of people that still have this belief that there can be salvation at repentance. That's not so. Amen. Somebody's got to get a hold of the heritage and has got to carry it forth. Amen. Completely all the way through. My friend, you must be born again. You've got to repent. You've got to be baptized. You've got to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. For some time and for some reason or another, amen, the movement of holiness and stuff has kind of been swept out the door and such. Amen. Under a progressiveness. Amen. And we don't look to offend people anymore and do those things anymore and such, because we want to get more people, and so we're not going to preach against the things that we used to stand against. And that was good for mom and dad, and that was good for grandma and grandpa, but they don't live in our day and age. And little by little things have begun to creep into Pentecost, all because somebody's not preserving a heritage in order to leave a legacy. And my friend, when these things are gone, amen, the power is going to go with it. Amen. Praise God. We still got to have preaching, amen, that stands up and names it and said we still got to come out from the world. We're not to look like the world. We're not to act like the world. We're not to be like the world. We're not to do the things of the world. We don't mimic the world. Amen. We don't wear makeup in any form or fashion. We don't wear it on our face. We don't wear it on our fingers. We don't wear it on any other part of the body. We don't wear jewelry in any part. We don't wear it in our ears. We don't wear it on our fingers. We don't wear it on our toes. We don't wear it in our belly buttons. We don't wear it in any other place of the body. Amen. Praise God. Because Peter and Paul both said that we ought not to wear gold and silver and costly array. Amen. We don't have facial hair. The world may do it. And Brother Vince's of Pentecost may do it. But it's not coming in here. We're going to stand against it. And we're going to preach it. And somebody says, give me book, chapter, and verse. We are to be same facedness. Amen. And that means naked faced before God. We're not going to play around with that. Amen. Somebody says, you can't tell me it'll send you to hell. You can't tell me it won't do it either. I'm going to stand on the safe side, and I'm going to stay, amen, with the things that God has held for us. Yeah.
And I know that we've got some that have facial hair. Amen. But they're going to know that I still stand against it. I'm not hiding. I'm not patting them on the back. I'm not patty caking with them. It's something that we have drawn a line in, and we're not going back. I am preserving a heritage because I'm leaving a legacy for my children and for my grandchildren and for their children too.
I want everybody to know and to understand that I understand and know that there are some people that have rings and some people that have jewelry, but it's not because that we haven't talked about it. I've talked to them about it. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. But there's some things that's just gotta be that way. Praise God. There's something that is, there is something in me that eats me up. It's the zeal that is in me. And that is, if we don't keep it alive, then there's gonna be a future generation that all that they're gonna talk about is the testimonies that I had. I don't want them to just have testimonies that I had. I want them to see the God of deliverance in action. I want them to see the God of victory in action. I want them to see the God of healing in action. I want them to see the God of salvation in action. Amen. I've heard the holiness line preached from stern to stem and seen 10 people get the Holy Ghost in the same service. I've seen the dead raise. I've seen all kinds of miracles happening. And I can stand before you today and say that my children have seen it. But if they don't push for it like we push for it, they'll just be able to say, I saw it, and their children will never see it. But let something get inside of us that says, the Bible says, these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they do these things. Amen. It shall follow them that believe. It's not going to follow if you're not persistent. It's not going to follow if you're not protective. It's not going to follow if you don't push. Somebody help me push for the miracle of today. Praise God. I'm almost done. Praise the Lord. We see that the disciples did not just talk about the things that Jesus did. Just like Elisha and Elijah. Elijah said, go on. You don't have to follow me. Elisha said, no, I want what you've got. I see what you're doing. I see the miracles that's happening. I don't just want what you've got. I want a double portion of what you've got. I don't want to be satisfied with just this. I want a double portion of it. Elijah said, all right, if you see me when I leave, when I pass away, when I move on, you'll get it. Elisha said, that's fair enough and that's easy enough. Wherever you go, I'm going to go. I'm going to be like a little puppy dog right on your tail. Elijah said, why don't you stay here? Nope. Why don't you stay here? Nope. He was offered 3 different places. You can stay here. Nope. I got something that I want because I'm going to pass it down to somebody else. We're not just going to let this die off. Praise God. And all of a sudden when Elijah was taken out and he dropped his mantle and Elisha went and picked it up and he was holding that, he said, now let's see. Because I'm not going to live off of Elijah's testimony. I'm going to have some testimonies myself. And he went up to the book. And he said, where is the God of Elijah? And he took that mantle and he smote the waters and the waters parted. And he walked through miracle number 1. Go through your Bible. You will see that Elijah had about 7 miracles. Now there may have been a whole lot of others, but there are 7 noted miracles. Go look at Elisha's 14. 14 noted miracles. He got the double portion at minimum. Praise God. But it was because he was unwilling to let Elijah's testimony die. Oh, no, 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 no. We're going to use that and we're going to have it. Praise God. Amen. The disciples hung around Jesus everywhere. They went, they saw all kinds of things. Jesus said, now I want you to go and I want you to do likewise. I want you to do these things. They came back to Jesus and they said, we're mesmerized. Demons were subject unto us because of your name. All of these things happened because people were healed because of your name. And the Lord told him, he said, greater things shall you do than that which I have done or which you have seen me do. And then Calvary happened. And they looked at things. Now the monkey's on their back. And what did they do? They didn't go say, well, you saw everything that Jesus did. They didn't walk up to the lame men at the gate of Beautiful and said, wish I could help you. If Jesus was here, he could sure help you because I've seen it happen. I've seen Jesus heal the lame men. I've seen Jesus raise them up. I'm telling you, if Jesus was here, I knew he could help you. No, no, no. Peter and John walked straight up to the lame man and said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Amen. They did not just bank off of the Lord's works and those things. They got their own testimony. They push for it. I'm telling you, church, you may be small in number here tonight, but if you would get a bulldog grip on what we're talking about here tonight, amen, I'm telling you that God wants to do it. And we're seeing things a little here and there. And somebody, please start me a journal. Amen. And keep it consistent of all the miracles. Amen. That happened throughout all of the years. Amen. But I remember getting Brother Troy's testimony in his text. Amen. When he had a blood disease and he had taken all of his labs and stuff. And the doctor said, I don't know what it is, but you've got a disease. Amen. And we prayed for him right here. Amen. Right here at 1200 Henry. Amen. Prayed for him. He went back for a blood test a few weeks later and everything came back normal. Amen. And the doctor walked in and said, look, I've got two reports and both of them are yours and I don't understand it. God gave the miracles. Praise God. I don't even remember them all. That's why I need a journal. Amen. But I can tell you that man about Sister Jessica who had blisters on her hand on a Sunday night. But by the time she got home on Sunday night after church, amen, her hand was healed and she just got a few scars but no blisters that are there. I'm ready to see some more miracles. I'm ready to have some more miracles. Amen. But it's going to be because somebody is not going to be content to say, I'm thankful for the blessings of yesterday. But somebody's going to say, we got to do something today so that we can leave something for our children tomorrow. Let's stand and worship the Lord here tonight. I'm challenging you, church. I'm challenging you. Let's step up and see what God will do. Let's see what God will do next. I'm ready for another testimony. I'm ready for another miracle to happen. Amen, amen. God's going to do it with us. God's going to heal our bodies. God's going to touch our minds. God's going to save our souls. And when they come in, they're going to be mesmerized because of our testimony. Amen. When you see them at work, you're going to be able to say, let me tell you what my God did for me. You're depositing a legacy into their spirit. And they're going to say, I want to go see your God. I want to go feel your God. I want to go experience your God because of the things that you experienced. And the reason that you experienced it is because somebody else did. And you heard about it or you read about it. But let me just tell you, it doesn't have to be in the Bible for it to happen, because somebody just had enough faith to throw people on the side of the road and let Peter's shadow pass over them. And as Peter's shadow passed over them, they were healed. Let your faith soar high into the heavens. Let your faith come up before God as a memorial. Let your faith please God. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Amen. I'm thankful for the heritage, but I got to leave a legacy. I got to make a difference in the next generation. I got to leave them something that they won't settle for compromise. They won't settle for a fog machine. They won't settle for a strobe light. They won't settle, amen, for some rock music or something. They won't settle for anything less than the true power and anointing of God.
Hallelujah. Come on, it's real. Hallelujah, it's real. Oh, yes, oh, yes, oh, yes. You cannot deny it. God has done it from Genesis all the way through Revelation. And he done it from the beginning of the church until the current church. Amen. He's done it. Don't let it die in your lifetime. Don't let it die. I'm challenging the church. Help me to keep some things alive. Help me to keep miracles alive. Help me to keep deliverance alive. Amen. What are you going to have to do, Pastor? What are we going to have to do? We're going to have to do the same things that they did. We're going to have to pray. We're going to have to fast. We're going to have to put aside frivolous things. We're going to have to get our minds on God. We're going to have to lock in to the Spirit. We're going to have to be, amen, demonstrative in worship. We're going to have to be faithful. We're going to have to be consistent. We're going to have to keep the banner flying high, and God's going to honor it. Oh, yes. God will honor it. God will honor it. God wants to. God wants to. God wants to show himself strong. God wants to show himself powerful. God wants to show himself real. God wants to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.